It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 Thunderstruck. And we're still not afraid, you know, because we're informed. But that doesn't mean there's not bad, evil, bad left jackboot, right jackboot, and jackboot on your throat party people out there doing whatever the heck they're going to be doing, and what's the cure. You know, the cure is that, you know, we change us. You know, we become different. Well, how do you do that? You know, I'm going to do it in the mandatory youth indoctrination camps, aka government schools. Is that where it's going to happen? Are we going to do it on commercial television? Or are we going to do it by what? You know, maybe grandma will be able to help us out. I mean, I am, you know, where is this evolution of humanity that is the promise that is given us to have every single new collective thrown at us since beginning of whenever? You know what? Governments don't come in promising, yeah, we're going to kick everybody's butt, man. We're it. Join us, and we're going to, well, I guess gangs do that. But, you know, the governments, it's always, to get the support of the people, it's all about the peace and the love and the productivity and all the good stuff, the protect and the serve and all this other stuff you keep hearing about. Is that what they really do? No, there is no evidence of that. There's the evidence of the promise of that, but it progressively gets worse once you delegate that kind of authority. Radical peace, people refusing war. Professor William Hathaway from Germany, Special Forces Vietnam, become a peace activist. And I wanted to finish on this thought, William, about in 1992, while Perot's getting all the attention, there were two other parties that were third party. There was a three, four, five. I mean, it was amazing what was going on in 92, even before the internet. There was United We Stand, a Perot group. There was Natural Law Party, Dr. Hagelin's group. You had the New Alliance, which was Leona Fulani, I think that was her name. She was out of Harlem. It was a black community thing, and it really was just a shakedown using the presidential election matching fund thing to generate a money ATM deal, and that was 50-state ballot status. Going into New Hampshire, the Seven Dwarves with Bill Clinton, all the Democrats put together didn't have as much money as the New Alliance Party raised just them. All combined, they didn't have as much money as her, but they never talked about it. Why? Because it was just a corrupt money machine thing that they were doing. Well, during all of this, there was very nice newspaper, high-quality newsprint newspapers that were put out all over the country. They were running everywhere. They had people, transcendental meditation, man. We're give peace a chance. They're doing the John Lennon thing. And it was all over the country, and it was out of Iowa, where they have their college or university there for transcendental meditation. And I remember how they just advocated if enough people just with the positive waves, it has an effect. They went to Washington, D.C. They went and meditated. They just positive waves, watched the crime rate go down. So I understand the concept, but I'll tell you a story you may not have known. During the 2008 presidential election cycle, during the Ron Paul Lovevolution, okay, we're the ones that started that here in Phoenix. And what happened is we were in Iowa at the small town in Jackson or Franklin County, where it was, where the Transcendental Meditation place was, and they were screaming in the Fed. They saw the source. It was the money guys. Go ahead and hold on, Dr. Hathaway. That's a real short intro segment we have at the top of the hour. And we'll get back to you when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Professor Hathaway.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're talking about, people refusing war. I'm. What am I supposed to do? Say they're bad guys? Are you a you're a peacenik? As if that's a bad thing. Wow. You know, Professor Hathaway. I mean, I. So you can understand from a long time ago. I mean, from almost 20 years ago. I am aware of what you're talking about.
I used to teach at that university.
Really?
Maharishi International University, Fairfield, Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah, Fairfield, that's
started, it. I started doing TM in 1968. I'd returned from Vietnam the year before, just loaded with stress. And I could hardly live with myself or with anybody else. But when I started meditating, that stress just gradually loosened up, and I was filled with a spreading inner calm. It didn't happen instantly, but gradually I sort of worked my way out of that stress. And then when I learned that it's not just the individual, but when you get enough people together generating those brainwaves in a group, that it affects the community around them, that they can actually measure statistically that accident rates go down, that violent crimes go down, and that then I became really interested in it. And at the point where John Hagelin was doing the campaign and finding out that you can do this globally, you get enough people, about 8,000 people together, and you can measure these effects globally. And these studies were so carefully designed and examined by very skeptical scientists who could find nothing wrong with the organization of the studies. So they had to be published in these very prestigious journals, but it just kind of disappeared then. The government, Maharishi then went to the government and said, well, look, at least try this, you know, sponsor, because it's very expensive to have 8,000 people just sitting around meditating. If you'd help us, we can do this in India. It won't cost much in India, but the government didn't want anything to do with it whatsoever.
Of course not. It doesn't serve their purpose. But we have, here, I walk around here at Freedom's Phoenix Studios. We have a workshop here. It's an access. We have do shirts and printing and sign making, and we have video studio and the radio, and we're activists here. We're peace activists. I mean, we're just, penetrating the matrix. And I see these stickers all over that says OM. Ohm. And I'm like, I don't need to. Well, I know somebody that knows on the phone. We got Morpheus from Arizona here. Morpheus, I got you there.
Yeah, how's it going, boss?
Go ahead and give your view on this. What do you think?
Well, I'm over here at the Sandra Day O'Connor Courthouse here, and we have a fairly large gathering of people, and I'm going to walk over to where they're at. You can hear some of the background noise, but we have the pro people, which are mostly the Tea Party people. They want more government. And then you have the immigration, the pro-immigration side on there as well. You know, they're arguing for the right, it seems like, for pro-immigration. But no one seems to be here in regard to the rights of the individual.
But one thing, we're going to go ahead and bring Morpheus down. Bring him down.
Hang on. We got to move away.
Bring him down. Bring him down. Morpheus, will get to you later, and we'll talk about the bottom of the hour. And the reason I wanted Morpheus, he's reporting on something that's going on downtown here, but Morpheus is a transcendental meditating individual. And he, I'm sure he'd have something to say about this if he got to it, which he didn't. So we'll go ahead and talk to him later about what he's doing down there. What's going on is here in Arizona, the immigration issue is a big deal. And they never focus on the theft from the individual of their resources that's being redistributed by someone. And then they complain that we have all these illegal immigrants that are coming and making use of public services that we have to pay for. And I'm going, did you ever think of focusing on the part that they were stealing from me to fund these public services to begin with? And I don't care who gets them. Let the immigrant, I don't care. I just, that's way down on my give a crap list. I don't care. but they use this just like they do with war and fear, and it's always somebody else. It's always them that is doing this stuff. So what happens is we have this battle, this created confrontation that is not about looking for the holistic bottom, you know, at the root problem, because they want to create. These battles aren't meant to be solved or won. They're meant to be fought. They want to create this confrontation all the time.
And especially to divide the poor U.S. Americans from the poor Mexicans. That's what they don't want, is for the poor people in the U.S. to see what they have in common with the poor people of Mexico who are struggling for their existence, and because they want us to hate each other. They want the poor people to hate each other, the poor blacks to hate the poor whites, because they're terrified if all us poor folks got together, what we might be able to do across borders. And that's what seems to me what feeds a lot of this. We don't know. They never say what the collusion between the large economic forces, the corporations in the U.S., and the governments of Mexico that produce policies that keep those people poor. Because the profits are going into the corporations, and we're the ordinary people are left with the problem. The ordinary people are left with the competition for jobs, with the competition for shrinking social services. And a lot of people are making a lot of money on these, having poverty there.
Well, you know, what we're looking at here is, I hear this a lot, is that we're taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving it to rich people in poor countries. And that's what we see. And there has to be a root cause, a root solution. And I'm willing to entertain anybody that goes, you know what? I'm going to add to the matrix. How about some positive waves? A whole bunch of us positive waves. I'm going, you know what? It's better than what we're doing. I have absolutely no problem with it. You know, a lot of people just call it prayer. But, you know, I see that being bastardized also. They go to their deity and they say, you know, us over them, smite them. And I'm going, you know, I remember a scene from Mel Gibson in We Were Soldiers. And he's praying. He says, we want you to ignore their heathen prayers and give us victory. You know? So I'm going, can we stop? What is a fundamental truth that we're looking for? And when you find that fundamental truth, Professor, I'm hoping that you'll understand that, you know, it doesn't involve government. It's not.
Well, you know, you've really opened my eyes in a lot of respects, because I'm a libertarian too, but I'm a libertarian socialist. I mean, I've sort of come from the left wing of this, and I'm realizing that we have a lot in common, and maybe I should rethink. I was trying to build a government that would actually redistribute things and be democratic. But maybe you're right, the government just will not do that under any situation.
No. Then they would bastardize it and get their cut that would make it not work anyway. You know, I was, I tell you, I know Cindy Sheehan well, and running radio as her token libertarian on Air America affiliate, you know, here as a producer and as a talk show host here in Arizona. And during those days, I remember we went, it was 07, we went to, 04. We went to Camp Casey, where Crawford, Texas. You know, Bush's job. I'm spending the week in the ditch getting my fire ants. Okay, and I had conversations with a lot of the socialist progressives there. They come to me and they say, "Oh, you libertarians, you never in this, and you don't understand, you don't get it, and whatever." One of the older guys that has been around, he was in charge of the House of Peace there. He goes, "No, I've known a lot of libertarian socialists. You know, I've been in communes with libertarians, and they look at me to get confirmation." And I go, yeah, you know, you can be socialist all you want as a libertarian. They call it families. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want. The problem is that you can't make me fund your socialist dream. The second you're using coercion, you get in this communist thing, the second you start putting a gun to my head saying, no, you have to, you know, toil for the collective, you have to fund the collective, the second you do that, then you're not libertarian anymore. And I go, and then this is what they said. They go, they look at me and these young kids, and one guy goes right to it. He says, yeah, but if they can't force you, then it doesn't work. And I'm going, you know, I think we're done here. I can leave on that note. Yeah. So I just, you know, if it has to involve coercion, if it has to involve enforcement with a gun, if it has to involve a structure that makes people doing stuff, you're just as bad as the other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... parking on the left is now parking on the right. You just switch.
So left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party. You know, so libertarianism is all, I mean, it's open to everything that you're talking about. I'm, you know, humming, thinking clear in your mind in positive ways is better than not. You know, so I don't have a problem with that. But I do not want to be trading one master for another. Because it's just going to get to be the, you create a handle for a thing. The bad guys always want to get hold of the handle, and they always succeed. Doc,
yeah.
Professor Hathaway, I hopefully you won't forget about us, and you got some good stuff coming up. You let us know, and we'll get you back on, okay?
Ernest, this has been a wonderful experience for me, and you've really made me think about this whole libertarian thing from another angle.
We're going to be they're going to push the button. We're going to send you, go ahead and hold on another segment. I don't want to cut you off like this. Go ahead and hold on another segment. Let's finish your thought, and we'll be sending you the archive.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself.
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh, it's right here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and Professor William Hathaway, former Special Forces Vietnam in Germany, saying, you know what, how about we find some love? You know, and that's what I'm looking for, man. You know, I wanted to go ahead and let you know, finish your thought. You see that we're on board with you, man.
We've become criminals for peace. And I think you may not be a direct criminal, Ernest, but in a way, you're also doing that because you're breaking the mold.
This isn't new, though. Those that really understand the history, libertarian philosophy, even back to John Locke, Lysander Spooner, Murray Rothbard, Hayek, Heinlein. I mean, this is not new, and they're just starting to find, because of the internet, people are starting to find out that this battle, you know, with Thoreau and Twain, and everybody's been going, hey, this whole thing sucks. We know who you are. Will Rogers. There's all been little, you know, snippets in our culture. Movies, books, all kinds of stuff that we really do understand. We're just being distracted. And I don't want to use their technique, because if you do, then it just reinforces what they're doing, as opposed to us expanding as human beings and humanity, being able to evolve away from the need for somebody ruling me all the time. They always go, well, we got to get good leaders. Leader, can I be my own leader? When do I get to grow up? When does that happen?
Yeah, that kind of self-sufficiency and...
It's going to happen Arizona. Anyway. The whole planet's going to fall down. Guess what? We're going to be left our own. What am I going to do? 911, I'm starving? I mean, you know, come on. Got chickens?
The book also deals with some stuff like that. People trying to live outside the system. Some of these peace activists are actually fugitives. And they've had to, they can't work because they'd be caught. And they have come up with some very novel ways of living outside the system on their own, off the grid, and still do their peace activities because they've been arrested for activism and for some destroying government property and stuff like that. And so they've gone underground and come up with some quite novel ways of getting by.
That would be very interesting to me. I mean, you know, I'm Central Phoenix here, and I got six chickens in my backyard just because. You know, we do a garden, a little square foot garden. You know, we talk to the audience a lot, do a lot of juicing. Man, we're getting right with our mind and bodies at home. But I'm telling you, you know, this destroying government property kind of thing, I mean, to what end? I mean, what is the purpose? What does it serve? How does it have a positive effect?
They say that if we make the war too expensive, the war is just being run by business. If you make it too expensive, it no longer becomes a good business. And the businessmen are good at knowing the bottom line. If you make it too expensive, there's a limit to how high they can raise taxes and raise the deficit.
Oh, they want it to be expensive. Oh, you blew up a Hummer. You know, the guy makes a Hummer, he's glad because he's got to make another one. I mean, you know, but you are right. It's gonna bankrupt us. I mean, it already has. This is not like it's gonna thing. It already has.
So their goal is to just, if you keep doing it, if you keep making it more expensive, then eventually the government will say, we just can't afford to be mass murderers anymore, and they'll have to shut down the war, pull the plug on the war by just making it too expensive through this citizen sabotage. But it's a questionable tactic. I don't know. I personally don't do those kind of things, but a lot of people do, like the guy who burns his favorite is burning the deuce and a half trucks, those big 2.5-ton canvas trucks.
Yeah.
They're expensive, and he says, you burn enough of those, and they just won't. They won't be able to keep doing it anymore.
You know, I understand. It really goes against the transcendental meditation. I mean, it's not.
That's why I don't do it.
It's
that's
not a positive wave thing.
Yeah.
And I can see if it's not military, it'll be environmental. I mean, you know, this Gulf thing is a perfect example. They're going to use it to scream for a cap and trade. They're going to scream for a carbon tax. They're going to scream for it's a global environmental problem, so we got to have a global solution. And then everybody, oh, yeah, because we love the environment, we're going to have a global tax and have global government and global, and then you got real problems. And I'm going, I can see it coming. I already know it. You know, listen, you know, this global warming thing's not working out for them, so we're going to, you know, just make a cesspool out of the Gulf of Mexico. Nothing surprises me anymore. It's always more collective, we're going to rule from on high, we know better, you don't know crap because you're some of the peasants and go over there and don't bother us. Oh, by the way, make sure you stay on the grid so you can fund our vending machine. And I'm going, just stop. Get off. You know, all the activity, what I'm more interested in than anything else is the activities of how they're surviving off grid. I mean, heck, you can do a whole book on that, you know? So anyway, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, and I got to get to some other stuff. I appreciate you staying over. Is there any website or something you want to give out real quick?
My personal website is peacewriter.org, peacewriter.org, and the book is Radical Peace, People Refusing War.
Peacewriter.org, Radical Peace, People Refusing War. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, today's archive show. We already have it linked in there to Amazon, where you can go and buy it right now.
Really?
Ah, okay. See, I love you, man. You know, we're going to...
Thank you, Ernest.
Well, no problem, and we'll send you the link. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Just what used to be the American way. We're trying to figure out what that is. Well, now we're going to go ahead and go to Morpheus down at the federal building, the Sandra Day O'Connor federal building here. You know what it is? I want everybody to know what it looks like here. It's a big, giant, glass open building in the middle of the Sonoran freaking desert. And that thing this time of year bakes people inside. Who was the stupid idiot architect and a guy that approved it to build that stupid federal building that has like a magnifying glass on the lobby? I was just dumb. But aside from that, there's something else going on down there. And Morpheus is there going to tell us all about it. Go ahead, man.
Well, they're having a hearing for the injunction for SB 1070. Apparently, they're having one today, and I think on the 22nd. I don't recall the exact date, but I got informed of this by Facebook, and I bought my sign. It says, Boycott Arizona, Papers Comrade on one side, and Police State Supports Racism on the other, and I've gotten into a lot of interesting conversations. with that.
Well, how many people are on one side and the other?
Well, I'm a little far away from them, you know, just so I could do the interview.
Good.
But it looks like there's probably a solid 150 now. It seems to be growing since when I got here at about 8.
Well, I mean, how many's on which side? You got 50 on one side and
100 you know, it's hard to tell from here. It looks like you have a few more. It looks like you're getting more of both at the same time. Seems like somewhat equally matched. I mean, I could walk from a different vantage point and give you a better description if I, you know, walk over here.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So just tell me what the issue is. What is the court being asked to do? Why is this news? Because I guarantee you it's going to be all over Fox News, and they're going to be saying blah, 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 and you're standing there. So tell me what's going on.
Well, they think it's all about immigration, but we all know that this is all about, you know, whether or not you are you have the right to exist without a government piece of paper. You know, they're saying you have to have, you know, your papers on you at all times, other than or you're considered you will be, you know, held until your immigration status can be ascertained, and that basically that makes you guilty until proven innocent, and that's my big problem with what's going on.
So, I mean, so the other side, you have the advocates for, I don't know, whatever, leave me alone, I want to stay here, I'm Hispanic, this used to be Mexico, whatever their argument is. Their argument is what? Are they arguing, well, I don't want to have my papers, please, I am a U.S. citizen, or you have a lot of people there, just see where this is going? Or, I mean, what? On the other side, you know, the people that are against this legislation, do they understand the national ID aspects of it, or they're just there for a totally different reason?
You know, it seems like that no one really knows what's going on, because I've only encountered one or two other people down here that understand what's going on. And one guy who interviewed me asked me that question. You're the only one here that's talking about this issue. Why is that? Well, then I thought that was easy, you know. The mandatory youth indoctrination camps do such a great job of just polarizing one side or the other. So they tell you the book is about cooking, but it's really about how to make nuclear warheads. So everybody thinks the book is about cooking.
So the other side, they're screaming and yelling, and we want what? I mean, they're, you know, we hate Mexicans, or we want you know, only white people to get welfare. I mean, what is it that they're advocating?
Essentially, you know, I went to a tea party, my first tea party, you know, sit down tea party thing, the other day, and Andre Campos gave a excellent presentation on the whole SB 1070, how it affects every single person living in Arizona. And these people go, yeah, we understand that. We just don't want any illegal aliens, so we're still in favor of the bill. No, I only met one person there out of probably 30 people that understood after listening to Andre's presentation that what this bill actually does.
Well, answer me this. You know, as you look at the two groups, which ones are older, younger? Is it all Hispanic on the we don't like it thing, all white on the other one? They're all, you know, 70-plus years old. I mean, kind of give me the demographic of what you're looking at.
It seems like the pro people are older, definitely whiter. There are some vocal, what I'd say, Hispanic-looking people that are, you know, the law is the law. I've seen this one lady out here, and she looks definitely Mexican, or you know, Hispanic, or what have you. And she's all in favor of the whole thing. I guess, you know, she doesn't, you know.
Well, what's the other side? What do they look like?
You know, you have some Mexican, Hispanic people, and then you have a lot of white people. I've met, you know, two or three other people that are, you know, Caucasian like myself. You know, but really, we're all Native Americans. I don't know about you, Ernie, but I was born here, and my parents were born here, so that makes me a Native American. And that's why I think that they do, is they use this divide-and-conquer mentality to divide us into these groups. It's like, very interestingly, I got into an argument with a guy who said he was a libertarian, and we started talking, and really, we're talking about the same thing, but he didn't like my sign. So it's just, we all want less government. All the Tea Party people will say they want less government, but at the same time, they want more government to do this one little thing.
Then what's that one little thing? I mean, they're willing to take a government-issued ID. See, what a lot of people don't understand, when they're checking your immigration status, there's two things going on. One, they're checking something, okay? A retinal scan, your fingerprint, whatever license or papers you got on you. And they're checking it against something. There's a list somewhere. There's some, you are approved, you're valid or invalid. I mean, you know, whatever it is. And they're getting that database from somewhere. And they, and this legislation allows, you know what they say? They go, it's not national ID. And I'm like, how can you say that? And they go, well, because it makes it sure that no municipality or city or state or county can prevent the transfer of the data. It doesn't require it. And I'm going, oh, so that's the veil. So there's going to be a database that Homeland Security, Big Sis has, and they're going to be checking it, and they're going to have to check something against it. And that means everybody, everybody. So I'm going, they don't care?
What's that?
They don't care? I mean,
I don't know if they see the big picture. That's why I just don't think they see the big picture. And that's what I'm wanting to accomplish, is hoping, you know, to have them see the big picture.
Well, I'm glad you're there doing it. You know, are you having any kind of impact, or you just, you know, I know you're forcing them to think, but are they just complaining? They're just mad?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, it's just a lot of anger. You know, we the government has ran our country into the ground. So let's pick on the people who have the least ability to defend themselves. Let's pick on the illegal aliens. Instead of picking on the Federal Reserve, you know, we should be up in arms about the Federal Reserve, how they're stealing our money. And, you know, well, you can't really fight the Federal Reserve. So let's fight against the people who we can't fight back, who have the least ability to fight back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Morpheus, thanks for going down there. Is it still going on? How long is it going to go to? What's
exactly sure. I'm getting ready to blast off, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Morpheus.
Take it easy.
Thank you very much. Morpheus, reporting live from Sandra Day O'Connor Federal Courthouse here in Phoenix, Arizona, where you have a hearing to determine whether they're going to grant an injunction against the law that they passed, SB 1070, here in Arizona, that the federal government's going to what? We rule you? You know, so, you know, what's the real question here? You know, I would like to take care of this 1070 thing locally and just tell the federal government to get bent. You know, you don't have any jurisdiction. The 10th Amendment, have a nice day, go away. But, you know, all this is just election year theatrics. It's just a game that they knew this was going to happen. Heck, they probably planned it. You know, who was governor here just until a little while ago? Jan Napolitano. You think these legislators and people don't have an intimate working relationship? Heck, I remember when she was assistant U.S. attorney prosecuting all kind of freedom fighter stuff and being a butthead. And then she's going up against Sheriff Arpaio. Oh, we're going out. And then all of a sudden they had a deal. And it kind of, well, a little here, a little there. It's, these things are negotiated all over the place. So I'm just, I don't pay any, they're liars. So this is just more theatrics. And what is the real issue? The real issue is they've turned us all into slaves. But it's all under the fear. Now, somebody else says, I need to be afeared. You know, so they're going to get you to support, you know, more police state stuff because of what somebody else might do. And you just think that, yeah, no, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not brown. You know, and then they'll come out and say, oh, no, we're not profiling it. No, we have to enslave everybody or it wouldn't be fair. You know, this is what's coming. You know, and you're begging for it. You know, I have no doubt. Okay, let me think so you understand, you know, where I'm coming from. I have no doubt of exactly what is coming. You want to know how, you know, as a junior high kid, you would take classes that you go in and they go through World War II and they go through Nazi Germany. They go, you know, the people just willingly in the films, them getting on the cattle cars and they're going to the end. And you got big giant mounds, you know, 10-foot high stacks, or, you know, 20-foot circumference of this big stack of eyeglasses, you know. Of pulled teeth, you know, of coats, you know, mountains of clothes and so and shoes. And you see this and you got it and you ask, you go, why did they allow that to happen to themselves? How did it get to this point? How? You want to know how? This is how. It is a technique. It is a method. It's a secret handshake, Uber book of whatever the heck since back in the whenever. Because governments are farms. You're just livestock. It's just a different technique of controlling you. And as they get more sophisticated about it, you know, they'll adopt the most productive. Why do you think China and India are going more of this, free market, free range kind of going, as long as we're in control, though? We license everything. We get our cut of it. How Stefan Molyneux put it, the end of free range is not freedom. You're still a chicken McNugget. You know, they just do it, give you more freedom because you're more productive. You're easier to fleece. You think nobody's more enslaved than those who think they're free. Are you free? You know what? I don't need national ID. I don't travel around with ID. I'm good. I don't need it. And they go, oh yeah, you do. You know, no, I don't. I mean, really? Do I? I have to. Well, you have to. I do. They go, your papers. Well, I don't have any. I choose not. I didn't have a driver's license for years. You know, I had one expired. There was kind of whatever. I just screw it. The only reason I went probably 6-7 years without a driver's license in the mid 90s. And whenever I got stopped, I just gave them, my name. They wanted my social security number and birthday. I won't get my social security. You go, well, I'm going to get it anyway. I know. Well, you want to just give it? I go, no, because I'm not going to help you, So I give my name and my birthday. They look me up. Yeah, there I am. I'm in the system. I'd had a driver's license before. Yeah, I matched the description. Okay, that's who I am. I get a ticket for whatever. I'm out protesting or doing something. They want to know who you are and do all that. And then you get to the point, I'm not telling you. And the only reason I got a driver's license is I went on vacation with my children and I rented an RV and I had to get a driver's license in order to rent the RV. So for the vacation of the kids, I went back into the grid. Because I'm weak. It was just time. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I had a restaurant. I'm running, and I still didn't have a license. Because I'm just like, it just didn't matter. You walked out of the house without your papers, your wallet, with all your goodies and credit cards and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have credit cards. I didn't have, one time a friend of mine, he goes like this. He says, you can tell how complicated a man's life is by how many keys he has. And I go, I'm not that very complicated. He goes, how many keys you got? I go, none. Well, what about your car? And he goes, it doesn't lock. I got a push button starter in it. It was always the key thing went out. I had old Datsun King Cab, pickup truck that I used for work. And it was, all I had to do is I just opened the door, flip a switch. You had to know where the switch was. Then you push the starter button. Good. I'm done. I didn't need a key. What about your house? Well, we never lock it. We don't have anything in there worth taking. We just never locked it. And we didn't live in the best part of town at the time either. We just didn't lock it except at night when we went to bed. So our friends now, I tell you on the radio, my friends mostly know. I mean, heck, Drew's sitting in there. I think you know where my keys are to my house. I just got to go in and get whatever anything that I just don't care. Who am I protecting? Go to the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. Freedomsphoenix.com. Go down to the bottom of the front page. There is my home address. And everybody goes, Ernie, I can't believe that you put your home address. Because people come to see Freedom's Phoenix, they'll wind up and they call me and they go, well, I'm at with the address. It looks like a house. I go, yeah, it's my home. That's not where the shop is. Heck, I'm more clandestine about where the shop is than I am where I live. And they're like, why? How do you? And I go, well, all the bad guys know where I live. Don't you think it's a good idea some good guys know where I live? It's just a different mentality. It's just, I don't care. Am I allowed not to care? Well, we take self-protection, seriously. I mean, you never know what firearm might be handy-dandy. It's just, but we're not, I'm not first to just, whatever. I remember a few weeks ago, my son just kind of came in. We went to bed early, and he came in the house, and I'm laying naked on my bed, and Donna's asleep. I'm watching TV. So, you just walk into the bedroom, you get what you get. So my son walks in. All of a sudden, I see this man standing in the doorway. Well, within a second or two, I realize it's my son, but I'm just like, don't do that. I mean, bad things happen when you do that. Oh, sorry, man. I thought you might be asleep. Oh, well, that's even better. You can sit and watch me sleep. Whatever. They come by. Yeah, I see my kids more now that they moved out than I did when they were living there. Because it's an open environment. They're friends. They come in since they were junior high. Am I allowed to not be afraid? It's a choice. It's a choice. I choose not to be afraid. I am open with everything I do. I share it with you. I share it with the man. I share it with everyone because I'm not doing anything wrong. But I still don't want to be asked for my papers.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. You know, this whole papers please thing is, you know, both sides are doing, you know, whatever the heck they're doing. Drew was there a couple nights ago. They had an event where you had the Tea Party guys are going, okay, we're going to be nice guys. We're going to let them come in and make their presentation, and they were going to videotape. They videotaped it, and they're doing a documentary called Amnesty. What's the documentary about?
Embracing America.
And so what's it about? Put that mic up closer.
I don't know what the film is about. I've talked to the filmmaker, and she's a very nice woman, and she's trying to, her goal, as she stated, is to be as objective as possible and to bring dialogue to the table and to let different groups give their opinion. And her belief is that there's just not enough dialogue going on over this issue. And so one thing that she decided to set up was with this Tea Party group here in Phoenix, a debate over 1070. She wanted to have a anti-1070 group present to this pro-1070 Tea Party group. And they contacted her and said, who could you have come as a speaker? And she decided, rather than have somebody from, say, the left-leaning camp who might be pro-amnesty, which is what I think the Tea Party group thought they were getting into, she decided to connect with a libertarian candidate and one of the gentlemen from Campaign for Liberty who are opposed to 1070. And they got to give about a 45-minute presentation, of which, like you said, they promised, we will not be rude, we will not interrupt you, we'll give you 45 minutes unhindered, and then we'll have time for questions. And all the people there were writing down, taking notes, trying to come up with the best questions to ask. Got through the whole presentation, and, you know, because I'm against 1070, the presentation wasn't new to me, but it was very well given, in my opinion. And of the 30 or so Tea Party members that were there, I think they came with their mind made up, and I don't think many of them left with a different perspective.
I wouldn't think that they, you know,
but
they
it gave them
to
something to think
about. Yeah, give the other side's argument. They're going to have to, they all of a sudden, they get this cognitive dissonance in their head, and they're going, well, everything he said was true, but. I mean, you know, so it's just they go crazy and they start, and, you know, shooting people.
And whatever. A lot of it was ad hominem attacks and just saying, well, you're arrogant and we don't agree with you. And the reason they filmed it was because they were hoping to film them say either something stupid or something that Tea Party people wouldn't resonate with so that they could somehow use it against the libertarian camp there that was giving that side of the argument, and it didn't go over the way they wanted
it
to.
You know, I've been experiencing this for over 20 years. The libertarian logic reason, this is, you know, we have a common ground. Can we all agree on, you know, base fundamental something? You know, like, do I own myself or not? Am I part of a collective that's going to rule me? Do I have individual rights that should be the proper government to protect? And blah, 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 blah. You'll get all that, except they always got these exceptions. Well, except when it's whatever the heck I want to do, you know? And when you make these presentations to them and you tell them what the real history of the law is, and Andre is... he was several states. He was a campaign coordinator for Ron Paul, his campaign. He's a Republican, you know, but was campaign manager for Libertarian gubernatorial candidate Barry Hess back in 4 years ago in 06, and he and his wife are doing it again this year. So he's definitely understands the libertarian mindset. I still think he's a conservative Republican. I mean, I wouldn't call him libertarian, but at least he's willing to look at the truth. So Campaign for Liberty is...
And they're all over that. Campaign for Liberty has really done the best detailed analysis of why 1070 is a backdoor to national ID.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of... They've been willing to put it up. And so it's interesting that they did this. I think there's enough evidence out there and enough rhetoric, enough discussion, enough archive video that is, you know, they're not going to be able to go saying they weren't informed. They've just been... I don't know.
Truthified.
They've been truthified, but I mean, they're advocating something because I don't know. It's what the club said to do. I mean, they got their bullet point marching order from Fox. You know, Glenn Beck said. I mean, I just, you know, I don't understand. I mean, you know, even Alex Jones is going off on this immigration thing, and that's going to be a low point for him. You know, I see where it's going, and I'm okay. You know, we're nose to grindstone here. We know what's happening. We know what this means. We know where it's going, and the people are just looking at polls and not looking at the facts. Sooner or later, they will. In the end, freedom always wins, and we know it. We'll see you tomorrow.